What is up, guys? You know who it is at this point. It's your boy, Art Morrison III, founder, president, head coach at Above Maximum Basketball, on your favorite podcast, Hoop Chatter, with my boys, my right hand and my left hand, Kevin Tarka, the super agent. I don't know if you like it. I'm running with it, bro. Give me something else other than super agent, bro. Kevin Tarka, my best friend. Right, and then we got,
we'll go with that for now.
And then we got my boy Rob McPherson, man, who I've known for so long, who I've been calling the analyst. He's just a beast in regards to analytics, and just his takes on the game are strong and confident and, you know, really open your mind. So anyway, today we have a special topic. Last time we talked about life overseas that me and Tarka chimed in on based on our experiences, me as a player, him as an agent. But today, the spotlight is on my boy Kevin Tarka as we talk about walking on in college, something that everyone always hears about. Every success story you hear, oh, he was a walk-on, and then he earned a scholarship or this and that and blah, 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 blah. We're going to make it a reality right now by actually talking to someone who walked on, used basketball to get an education, turned to an agent, and just, oh, man, just killing it from an agent perspective. Tarka, how did it start, bro? Like, how? Like, at what point in high school, man, did you say, I'm going to play in college and I'm going to do it this way? I'm not fighting for a scholarship. I don't want to do like, how did you even come up with the strategy of walking on?
It definitely took a while, late into my senior year, but I think from the beginning of getting into high school, I knew I wanted, just like most people that are listening, I wanted to be a collegiate basketball player, right? So I wanted to play at the next level, and I didn't know what level that was going to be. I mean, I think for as cliche as it was, everyone's dream was, I want to play basketball in the NBA, and however I get there, I can get there. Mm-hmm. After I was a sophomore and junior, and I played a lot of minutes and did pretty well, so I thought I could play at the next level. And as I got into my senior year, I wasn't getting much love from the recruiting trail. I mean, probably rightfully so, because I'm an undersized, kind of point guard that didn't really kill it in terms of the scoring.
Right.
I was kind of like that high IQ pass first point guard that ran a high school team, and I was a good high school player.
You were a Somerset County point guard.
That's right.
If you guys don't know, we're from Somerset County, New Jersey, Tarkin and I. And if you are from Somerset County, you know exactly what we're talking about when I say a Somerset County solid starting point guard.
So when I got into my senior year, there was a handful of schools recruiting me, but it was all at the Division III level. Right. And it got to a certain point where, I knew personally that I wanted to combine my experience in college to be on the basketball court, if possible. But also I knew that it was going to be opening doors to after college. So I needed it to be a certain level of academics, or at least something that I had interest in that could get me a degree that I can do whatever I wanted to do. So at the end of the day, I had a list of bigger schools that I applied to that I knew there was a risk of me not playing basketball. I applied to the Rutgers, to the Penn States of the world, and also applied to Quinnipiac, who was Division I as well, and a couple of smaller Division I schools. And when I got into Quinnipiac, I essentially narrowed down my options to Quinnipiac and a couple of Division III schools that, let's say, were not high academic schools, and I just wasn't feeling it. I took visits, and it was kind of in the middle, schools in the middle of Pennsylvania, in the middle of nowhere, yeah. Or just schools that I wasn't really feeling it. And I made that decision when I went on my visit to Quinnipiac. So I always tell a story that I went up to campus to check it out, and it's a beautiful campus if you've never been. And it was the second year that they opened the brand new TD Bank Center, which was, again, if you haven't been, I highly recommend it. It's a multi-million dollar facility that houses the basketball arena and the hockey arena under one roof.
Wow.
Tough.
Which is, it's unbelievable. And, I went up there to kind of just check it out.
Okay.
And this was in the late spring, entering the summer of my senior year. And as I walked into the arena and then went to the left to the basketball side and opened the door, the elevator opened up to that went down to like the locker room area, and out came Scott Burrell. And if you're not sure who Scott Burrell is, Scott Burrell at the time was an assistant coach at Quinnipiac, but he won a championship with Jordan and the Bulls in 1998.
Yeah.
And he's the only guy actually to ever, actually I don't know if he's the only guy, but he's the first guy to be drafted in the first round of two major league sports, baseball and basketball. Wow. NBA and MLB, which is crazy. Anyways, you know, I had known who he was. Obviously, I knew the coaching staff and did my research on who was on the team. So I just introduced myself to him, and it couldn't have gone any better. You know, in my mind, I'm like, all right, this guy's like, who is this, you know, this tiny 5'10 white kid that wants to come up here and just, you know, think he's going to come for Scott's. And, you know, he was just the nicest guy that could have ever opened that door. And he said, oh, you're here to check out school. Do you want me to show you around the arena? You know, you're thinking about playing a team. Great. That's awesome. And I was like, thinking in my mind, like, whoa, why is this happening? So he showed me the locker room. He showed me the weight room. He showed me the court. And I kind of explained to him that I was looking for a walk-on spot. And although he obviously said that there's no promises, you know, just told me to stay in touch. And for me, I left that arena. I went right into my car. I called my parents. I'm like, put in a deposit. We're going. I'm going here.
Right.
And that was the decision. Head down. That was the decision. And I knew the risk that was going in. It was, you know, there's potentially tryouts and nothing's guaranteed. But that was the risk I was willing to take because I knew that I love the school. I love the academics. And I was going to do whatever it took to get on that basketball team because that was just it just everything kind of fell into place like it was supposed to. And it was a challenge I was willing to accept.
That's awesome, bro. So at what point, like even before that, like, all right, so what stood out about Quinnipiac besides that experience? What stood out then as opposed to like Rutgers, which was closer to home? You know, like how did you even narrow it down to those few? What were you looking for in a school?
Personally, there was a couple different variables. One was it wasn't too close to home, but not too far. Another was I have a lot of family from the Connecticut area, so like Hartford area. Yep. So it was, you know, within 30 minutes from a lot of family and my grandparents. So that was huge. Also, the campus was just gorgeous. You know, it was amazing. It was super clean. It wasn't too small of a school. It wasn't too big of a school. The academics were, you know, well known. They were just doing a lot of renovations. So all these little weighted variables for me just ticked. Just check, 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 check. So for me, it was a done deal.
Yo, so you got a question, bro?
Yeah. So once walking on, in those 4 years, did you ever earn a scholarship? Did that ever come up?
I did not. It was always, and it depends on where you go to school. You know, there's a lot of it has to do, obviously, with the amount of scholarships they have.
Right.
You know, whether guys come in and out. There are certain players that are recruited walk-ons, which I was not. Right. In other words, you know, mm-hmm. Hey, come, you know, we like your game. We don't have a scholarship this year, but if you come and you do, you know, you do well, then there's a chance you might get one in your second year. Right. Or there's a, hey, you know, we got 2 years until we have an opening. Come pay for your first 2 years and your second 2 years are on scholarship.
Right.
So for your typical walk-on that actually try out, there's never a guarantee.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, I mean, you have to have the mindset of if you make the team, you have to be willing to do the little things and maybe even more hard work behind the scenes than others and not get any credit for it.
Yep.
Dude. And that was just something that I was okay with that I knew going in.
Dude, I have to commend you as an 18-year-old to have the self-awareness to put aside dreams that you probably had since you were a kid of playing, not being on a team, but playing, being a major contributor in college, possibly professionally, to look at yourself at 17, 18 and say, you know, I'm gonna go walk on at this school where, one, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Two, I may never play or never get a scholarship. And then three, you stuck with it for 4 years.
Yeah.
So, like, how, like, I know you have the mindset going in, but going in to do something and not knowing what it's going to be like, how hard it's going to be, how did you stick with that for 4 years?
Man, it was definitely difficult, and it was a tough transition, too. Because you're right, you know, going from starting varsity for my sophomore year and playing every single minute and doing whatever I want to do, having the green light to do me, going to, like, staying on the sideline for some practice drills was very difficult. You know, I think lucky for me, I had the right people around me that, you know, kind of opened my eyes a little bit in addition to my own mindset of like the positives outweighing it. And I was also very self-aware of how many people would be willing to be in that situation and how amazing it really was. You know, it although it was a dream come true to, you know, play college basketball, and it would have been great to hit that game-winning shot at the buzzer Division I and playing it was also a dream come true to be playing college basketball in an unbelievable arena with a great coaching staff, with, you know, some of my best friends that I still talk to this day. It was a great experience, you know. So I think it definitely wasn't easy, but it got easier as I earned that respect over the 4 years, for sure. I think the positives and the doors that I could open outweighed the difficulty of getting outside my own head of not playing.
Well, that ability to weigh the risks and the possibilities is like what makes you. So I know Rob like literally just met you in person today. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, you tell that story of how before you even know you have a spot on the team and all that, you're telling your parents to put a deposit on. Mm-hmm. You know, I could tell 5 stories right now of you doing similar things, whether it's from going out to LA to chase being, you know, like that. It's a character thing, and it's very inspiring to anybody who's listening. Like, yeah, you got to bet on you. And that, you know, among all the bets that you ever bet on yourself, would you say that's the first or one of the biggest, that decision?
Definitely one of the biggest and one of the first. You know, I also think it's really important to note that I was aware, maybe a lot more now in hindsight and a lot more mm-hmm. communicative about it, but I was aware at the time, if you noticed, twice and 3 times we've all touched on, I called my parents to put a deposit on the school. So right. If you think about that for a second, like, I was aware that that was a blessing. Like that,
right?
It wasn't, yeah. I'm not pretending like I had to go scratch and crawl to, you know, to somehow find the money to pay for school. I was lucky enough that they were able to pay some of my college tuition. Now, shit, don't get me wrong. I'll show you my bank account right now. I got a lot of student loans left, and I'm nearing up 30 years old.
Yeah.
But I had that opportunity that they were willing to help out.
Right.
So that's definitely, I think, helped the case of you know, life could be worse.
So you're, and Rob, I'll let you get back to your questions, but I wanted to touch on this before I forget it, because I don't write things down like you. Right, but your brother ended up going there as well, and if I recall, I saw a video on IG. He ended up earning a scholarship.
He did.
Was that senior or junior year?
He did his senior year. So wow. Yeah, so he made a sip. We'll have to get him on the podcast. Actually, that's definitely one of the guests. He's coaching at Lehigh right now. He's on staff.
Okay. Crazy.
But yeah, so he ended up following the similar path. Actually, the same path of walking on. You know, I think it helped that the same coaching staff was there from me to him. Mm-hmm. And there was a handful of years in between. His going into his senior year, they ended up letting the staff go.
Wow.
Tom Warren's staff. So he had a brand new staff his senior year. Baker Dunleavy, he just came from Villanova.
Okay.
From assistant to Villanova and their great runs to the national championship. So he had as a scholarship player, it's difficult because you never know if that coach wants you. But as a walk-on, it's like, well, shit, what's my role going to be?
Right.
You know, and he ended up the second semester, you know, so basically, I don't know, 8 months into meeting that coaching staff, he was able to kind of, you know, build on what he had earned the respect the first 3 years. And the coaching staff loved him enough where it was actually a Christmas party during the first break.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everyone had like a $10, you know, white elephant gift or whatever, gift exchange.
Right.
And last one was the athletic director saying, oh, I got one more gift for, you know, for Greg. And he went up there and he opened it and he read it. And in front of everyone, it was a full athletic scholarship for the second half of the year.
Wow.
And it was crazy. Ended up going viral on ESPN. It was pretty cool. But yeah, that was awesome, man. I mean.
He's taller than you?
Come on, bro.
I'm asking.
Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. I got the good looks. I got the skills.
Who was better in high school, bro? Who was better in high school?
Two different games.
Different. Hey, hey. I might have to bring in the analytics guy. Two different positions.
Okay.
His team ended up being better than my team when I was in high school. He was a big piece of that for sure.
Yeah.
Two different positions.
Okay.
Two different positions.
I'll take that, bro. I'll take that cop out.
did that coaching staff that you know, you walked on under and then your brother walked on under, they ever, you know, joke with him or give it to him like, yo, like, you know, you're a little weak here, soft here. Your brother went harder than you in these drills, more committed. Like, they ever, you
all,
know, give
all
him a
the
little,
time.
Talk
and,
a little trash
and if
to
they
him.
Forgot, I reminded him on a weekly basis to give him a hard time in practice. And I was, you know, I would always hit the coaches with the text like, you know, how many times did Greg dive on the floor this week? Right. If it was like anywhere close to, you know, under 10, it was like, well, make him run or something.
Right.
That's amazing, bro, because I remember when I went to college, like, I was the first in my family to go to college. So, like, there was that whole legacy play behind it and, like, setting the right example. So the fact that your younger brother followed the exact same, you know, path.
Footsteps, God, man.
Like, yo, that, like, gives me chills, bro, because it's like, obviously you had impact. Like, obviously what you did not only was dope for you, but it was just dope. You know what I mean? Yeah, it made your younger brother want to do it. It made, even hopefully on this podcast, it makes people say, wow. Like, I mean, you walked on Division One by choice when you had Division Three opportunities. But people listening, if you barely have Division Three opportunities, bet on yourself. Worst case, you get a college experience and all that. And granted, you know, your parents have to be able to put you through that. And student loans do suck and all of that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, still, like, bet on yourself, man. Start now. You know what I mean?
Definitely bet on yourself. And that goes into kind of a side tangent off of that of, you know, if you think that you're going to be a college basketball player, I know we all want to be, but I encourage you to open your mind, because if you're sitting there choosing between potentially playing at a Division III level at a school that you don't really like, that you might not, you know, want to stay at, or having something that you don't like to study, versus an opportunity of betting on yourself and taking the risk of walking onto a Division I program or a Division II program, even if you don't make the team, there are ways to get involved with basketball and with the team that will fulfill that you know, that love for the game, but open your eyes to a completely different part of the industry that you might be able to use for the rest of your life, instead of saying, hey, I played for a couple of years as a walk-on, like, you know, manager, coaching, marketing,
say, name some
PR.
Ways, bro. We got time.
I mean, there are so many ways. And you know, make sure you DM us or me personally if you're curious as, you know, what you can do to put yourself in a better spot to walk on, or what you can do to put yourself in a better spot to be affiliated with the basketball team, because there are so many ways. It's not easy.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but there are so many ways. You know, you can try and get a part-time job in the athletic department. You can, you know, work directly with the team as a manager.
You can manage the social media, bro.
I mean,
there's a whole lot of photography, videos.
If you find a way to add value and you're willing to do it for free, I mean, name it. Name what you want to do, and there will be a coaching staff somewhere that you can add value to.
Well, I remember even at Caldwell, like, three of us in this room went to Caldwell. Kate's sitting here. She's not on the podcast.
I knew exactly what you were going to say.
Yeah, we used to complain about how terrible, and no offense to Caldwell, we love you all, you guys, just clear that up, but we would complain about how their marketing stunk. They never had social media coverage or game coverage and all that, right? But if someone, listener, was to come to them with that opportunity or with that skill, they would 100%, I would hope, if they're smart, would 100% take it. You got to remember, colleges aren't NBA teams, and especially if they're not Division I or major colleges and mid-major or, you know, smaller schools, they're looking for, I don't want to say free labor because that sounds bad, but they're, you know, they're looking for people who are looking to enhance their program and provide value, right? So there's ways, like if you love ball and you get to college, you try out, you don't make the team, and you realize, okay, I wasn't as good as I thought I was. There's ways, bro, you can get involved with a program, especially now in 2020. There's so many ways you can get involved with a program and provide value, and find yourself still a part of your passion, if that makes sense.
Definitely. And you have to differentiate yourself to do that. One of the easiest ways is working for free. you know, I know we can have an entire...
Sweat equity.
An entire podcast on this, but essentially a walk-on spot is playing for free without a scholarship. So that's the path I decided to take.
Yep.
But working for free and investing in yourself and believing in yourself will pay off in the long term, and it will overcome the short-term losses that you think you're not getting by not getting paid.
I got to ask you, being a walk-on, you know, not being quote-unquote on the in crowd of the team, you know, contributing on game days and playing, how was your relationship like with the rest of your teammates? Did they include you when, you know, like, yo, we're going out, we're partying, or we're just hanging out the guys' night, playing video games, doing whatever you guys like to do?
Definitely. It definitely took time, you know, but I was lucky that from day one, even my freshman year, you know, I would say it took time most definitely on the court to be able to show that, like, I can provide value, or like, you know, hey, what, you know, we need someone to come out here and not turn the ball over, like, figure it out. Or we need someone to come add value on the court. And that took time, but off the court was great because, you know, even the upperclassmen who didn't have to they include me from day one.
Right.
And again, some That's of my huge. Best. It was huge. It was, you know, where are we going tonight? And I think it helped that obviously I'm a social guy, so like right, it was cool. easier.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the cool guy. Yeah. No, but I'm a very social guy, and and you know, I made sure from my side that I had, because I knew I was going to be, you know how it is as a college athlete, you spend every second with your teammates. So I wanted to make sure that I did not room with a teammate, and I had a separate group of friends that I can. That I can have multiple groups of friends.
That's
and,
huge.
And then
too.
Also integrate both of them. So I was kind of that middleman. You know, I'd go, you know, the hockey guys and girls, the basketball guys, the different sports, but also, you know, the investment club, my roommates, this and that. You know, I was a very social guy. So I think that helped off the court, obviously. But from day one, man, it was great.
Yeah, and I hate to ask that. I know I'm big on talking about like no regrets, mm-hmm. right? So this isn't a regret question. It's a have you ever thought about how things would have been different? I know you have a great story,
yep.
how everything played out. You did what you wanted. You persevered through, you know, the unknown and sticking with it. But have you ever thought about how college could have been different if you would have took time and went to one of those D2 or D3 schools and actually, you know, played and was that contributor you were in high school?
Very often. Yeah. Very often. I do. I don't like to think about what ifs, like you said.
Correct.
And even though I play, I just, you know, entertain myself. But that'd be cool if I went there. You know, what would have happened if, okay, I'll entertain myself a little bit. But
right.
100 times out of 100, I would make the same decision.
Okay.
Obviously, I think it's easier said in hindsight. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20 because right, it worked
right.
out great.
Right.
So maybe I should change that to 98 or 99 out of 100 times.
Right.
But I also think that's what helped me, you know, build that chip on my shoulder till today, and what you know, what has me back at my old high school when I'm home, you know, helping the guys out, or you know, last night after their practice, I was in the gym getting shots up on the gun because I just love the game. Like that, those 4 years of not playing in games, that high school me is still bottled up inside, like with
right.
that with that fire of like
yeah,
competition. Yeah. So like in a way, it propelled me, and again. That's why hindsight's 20/20, but that experience is what drives me every single day, you know, like, and I think a certain on-court experiences, as in like not making it to the NCAA tournament, losing my sophomore year in the championship at the buzzer to go to the tournament, those things were part of it, but that is what makes me wake up every day and kind of like, that's my motivation.
Right.
So if I did go somewhere else, cool, maybe it would have worked out great. Maybe I would have been a, you know, a 30 points a game scorer. Maybe I would have been a 0 points game scorer and hated 4 years and made the biggest mistake of my life.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So let me ask you, because we're going to go back a little bit. I want to take it back. The tryout.
Mm.
Talk oh, yeah, to me
yeah,
about
yeah.
that. Like,
go through that. Yeah,
yeah, give me a story like about tryouts. Like, was it tough? Were you getting clamped up, bro? Like, were you cooking? Like, were you shocking people?
Right.
Like, how did that work? How were the coaches toward you? I know in our practices, when there was a walk-on, the coach was kind of...
It was terrible for them,
oh,
bro.
Man, it was terrible.
I wouldn't wish that on nobody.
Well, envision what you're envisioning, and the guy that was terrible, yeah, that was me. I was absolutely destroyed. I mean, I was just shocked because, obviously, you watch Division I basketball, but until you're there and in it, in a practice, you're like,
right.
holy shit, these dudes are huge. You know, and not just
bouncy,
huge, but just, yeah, they're just
freak
next
athletes,
level,
like,
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I thought, you know, I could take a step back behind three-point line and get my shot off quickly in high school. Like, that shit was sent to the 13th row real quick.
Right.
You know? And I would say, I mean, by no means was I ever cooking. but my senior year, I got tremendously better.
Right.
You
right.
know, I got tremendously better through those 4 years because I was playing against competition that was 10 times better than me the entire time.
Right.
So by my senior year, I was actually adding value to scout team. You know, I was actually adding value and being able to score the ball in practice on the defensive side, not so much because, you know, it kind of goes to my character. If I don't like to play defense anymore, I just like to shoot the ball.
Right.
But, to that point, I was definitely adding value towards the end of that, but it was difficult, man. On the tryout part, so the tryout was unique because it wasn't like a set in stone thing. They just they didn't even really know if they were going to take a walk on
oh, wow.
at the time. And I'm not sure what type of – I think conferences and schools and the NCAA and different divisions have a rule that you have to legally post tryouts. You don't necessarily have to take anyone.
Yeah.
But the tryout was a couple months long, which is which sounds crazy. But it was weird because, you know, there was an official tryout and there was about 10 guys and they just absolutely ran us to death. And thank God I was in one of the best shapes of my life because I knew it. And they just, I mean, I'm talking like full court one-on-one, suicides, you name it. Like people were throwing up.
Yeah.
And I just did what I
it's
thought
so
of.
So mean, bro.
I just did.
Right. They were just teasing them, basically, bro.
Rightfully, because you have to filter those guys out. And the only thing that they're looking for in a walk-on is, all right, are you going to compete? Are you going to be talking when you're tired? Are you going to help your teammates out? And that's the stuff that...
And are you going to stick with it?
Yeah, and that's the stuff that I did, you know? And they liked it enough to kind of keep me on. It's like almost like a pending tryout continuous. And I remember the first game of the season, I had still not officially made the team yet. So I went to the game. It was, I'll never forget, sitting in the stands at Hartford University away, watching the guys play their first game, and they won. But yeah. I was with my parents, and I just hadn't made the team yet. So it was a long tryout process.
You traveled up. So you had been practicing with those guys the entire time, and when it came to game time, they were just like, oh, we're not taking you? It was...
You're different.
You know what? I honestly can't... I think it was some sort of like... They were trying to figure out the budgets and how many people they could have on the roster and whatever. For me, it was like, if it was... Whatever. I'm sticking with this thing. It was almost like a competition now. Oh, yeah. You think you can last longer than I can? No. I'm making this team.
Now, question. So you didn't sit with them and travel them first game. By the second game, were you then with the team after
that? By the second game, in between that, was when I found out that I had... It was either after that game or a couple games in, I found out that I'd made the team. And that first year... it was going to be alternating between me and another walk-on who traveled, and we both would dress at the home games. Okay. And so that first year was ultimately at the end of the season. It was like a full year tryout process.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What happened to the other guy? Did he ever stick with it? Or
That's my boy, man. His name happens to be Kevin. That's my boy. But he ended up not sticking with it. He just kind of found interest in other stuff. Yeah. And, you know,
that's
just
hard, man.
Yeah, it's difficult.
It's not. I remember tryouts, bro, and people walking on for Division II Caldwell and being like almost saying they were too good for it. You know what I mean? Like people saying like I'm not. Carino is the coach's name. I don't know if we said names on the podcast, but you know the coach. He offered me a manager position and all that, and they're like too good for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah. Hey, I commend you, bro. Like they put you through hell for months.
Yeah. Now. Did they allow you to do all of the preseason training and stuff with the team, or did they just say, hey, this is when we're having open tryouts, you show up this day? So you didn't work out with the team prior to...
Correct.
See, but think about Caldwell, bro, because I remember when one or two people came that really tried to walk on. No, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about when the dude showed up to like practice, when it was like the first official practice, and he did nothing with us with Dyer or none of that, and they had him in there doing.
Dyer's a strength and conditioning coach. We got to
right. But remember the dude showed up and it was like practice. They gave him like some like fake penny, and he had to then jump in and like run suicides and all this stuff. And it was like you didn't do any of the conditioning, any of the preseason work.
Well, I mean, it had to be on my own.
Right. But he clearly didn't do any of that. You could tell when he showed up, he didn't do any of that.
There was a couple of those.
He was getting dunked on.
Yo, he was there for one practice
stupid,
and one practice
bro.
Only.
So dumb. I do remember that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like that's why my question is like
too. I couldn't imagine.
Right. So like leading up to that, you had no exposure to it. Like, it was like, here's the date, and then you show up, and now it's like, whoa.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, though, you know, I think part of the reason that helped me get on the team was that, obviously, my value, especially as, you know, 18-year-old, 150 pounds, soaking wet, you know, like, I'm not going to add value on the court. I'm going to be clapping, opening my mouth, cheering on my teammates, diving after loose balls, and, like, that's what I did.
Yeah.
So, like, that's where my value came, which made it easier. It's not like they threw me in there expecting me to, like, hey, go hit 20 shots and pretend to be the other team's best player first. Yep. So, that helped. And that's what a lot of people don't realize what a walk-on does. Like, man, you're not there to score.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not there to give value in the stat sheet. You know, it's there's actually a funny, I think he wrote a book and he had a blog called Club Trillion.
Okay.
And Club Trillion came from, I'm blank. Oh, Mark Titus.
Okay.
He was a walk-on at Ohio State. And Club Trillion came from, he was a, from his box score. 1 minute. 0000000000, which is amazing. And right. Like, I love this stuff when he used to put out blogs, but that's what you're there for. Like, if you get in the game at all, you're going to play 1 minute and you're not going to do anything. Maybe you get a shot up.
Right.
But you're there to add value in other ways. And that's kind of just, you know, what happened.
That's sick, man. Thank you for sharing that story. My last question I'm going to ask you, step out of yourself. You're not Kevin Tarka. Say it back to me.
I am not Kevin Tarka.
All right, bet. So listen, if you had a choice, you're in high school, you're not Kevin Tarka, so you're not determined you, you're just a kid that you don't know, and they have to make a choice. Walk on Division One or play...
Oh, what were you thinking?
No, you're good. Walk on Division One or play Division Three, not on scholarship. You know, Division Three, their scholarship situation is weird. They package it and all type of stuff. But walk on Division One or play immediately Division Three.
Knowing what I know now?
Knowing what you know, but you're not Kevin. Yeah, so you're not determined no, you, not like me. All that. Yeah,
yeah. Walk on Division One.
Okay.
I think that answer might change if you tell me which school.
Okay.
But just knowing what I know now and knowing what doors that it can open to be affiliated with a certain crew mm-hmm. and alumni base and...
I'll take that.
The doors it can open after, that is why.
Yeah, because I do see your Quinnipiac network is crazy.
I can piggyback that, man, because I know when I graduated my senior year, I had a great senior year at Division III basketball. I mean, I was averaging just under 18 points per game as a senior. And when I went to some Division III, not Division III, when I went to some overseas combines, there were guys that were walk-ons or barely played on Division I programs. And I would have better numbers in the scrimmages, but because they had those schools attached to them, they got better looks from those overseas teams.
Good point.
I wouldn't get a look. You're scoring 20 points, 5 boards in a scrimmage, and you're not getting any calls. But the guy that had 6 points, a couple boards, but went to Temple and walked on, or didn't play but was on the squad for 4 years.
Shaking his head, yes. He's like,
he would get the look over me. And I'm like, yo, I'm a 6'4", 6'5", you know, guard.
That's life.
But, oh, I went to D3 wide. Affiliation. Man. You know what I mean? So I can attribute that, man.
All right, I know we broke our own rule and we went over time, but I got one last question.
All right, let's
And this is what I thought you were going to ask me. And I know there's many variables. We could debate it for a while, but you just got to choose one school. If you are the top recruit, Number one recruit in the country for basketball. What Division I program do you go to? You just got to pick one school.
Yeah.
Any school you want. And, okay, if you're number one, sure, you can be there for one and done. But one school to go for 1 year, name it.
Oh, man, go to North Carolina. Play for my guy, Roy Williams, man. Put that Carolina blue on.
Yo, this is the part where I like Duke. Like, I would want my kid to go to Duke, which is weird because we keep the opposites. But, yeah, you know what I like? It might be the local in me, but I like Princeton.
Really?
I like Princeton. I like the experience. I like the campus. I like the education, obviously, Ivy League status. Like, you get all the D1 juice and all that, but it's Ivy League education. But, like, they compete, you know what I mean, for the most part, some years.
But you do that for 1 year or for, like, a 4 year?
Because you're
saying I only get 1 year?
Yeah, he said 1 year.
I said 1 year, but...
Like, one and done. I'm going to the one and done.
Yeah,
Princeton, bro. Kill the Ivy League for a year. Get a crazy education. And now my alumni connections are
wild.
Princeton. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What about you?
My go-to was UCLA because I love LA. I love the warm weather.
I forgot about the weather. No, I changed my shit. I'm going to Pepperdine on Malibu, bro.
See?
I forgot about the weather.
But... the Princeton's huge because my thing is always like, well, don't you want the free education that you can go back and get your Princeton degree?
I mean, bro, what?
Facts. That's
you know,
very
like,
true, man.
Or your alumni base. Like, how many venture capitalists are coming
you
from?
You know what I mean? Hell of money.
Now we're talking different things.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're talking.
This could be a whole episode, man.
I think that was a good one to wrap it up with.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll end on that point. Tarka, thanks so much. I commend you, bro, for sharing your story. And, you know, just the whole walk-on thing is just huge in general. And people don't know enough about it. Like, how many podcast episodes can you find, you know, 35 minutes talking about walking on? So thanks for sharing that with us. We will chat next week.
That's our new call out, or our new, you know, segue out. Guys, we're going to chat next week. Thanks for listening. This was episode, I think, 6 or 7.
I think it was something six. Like that. Yeah, 6.
Episode 6. We're getting up there. Walk on, ins and outs. Chat next week. Love you all. I'm Art Morrison III from Above Max Basketball. Follow us at Above Max B-Ball on IG. Our podcast IG is new. Go support, go follow at Hoop Chatter Podcast. My boy Rob to my right. My boy Tarka to my left. Love you all. Chat next time. Peace.